Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Karora Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol KRR and on the OTCQX under the symbol KRRGF. We are chatting again with Oliver Turner, Executive Vice President of Corporate Development. Just to bring everybody up to speed, Karora Resources is a multi-asset mineral resource company. The company is in operations. Primary operations are the Beta Hunt underground mine and the Higginsville gold operations, which includes the Higginsville open pit mines. Now, Oliver, the last time we chatted was tail end of October. So a number of things that we can touch on here. I do want to start off by getting general updates on production and exploration. Let's start off with production. I know that the company is hosting a conference call or webinar early next week to discuss the year-end results or fourth quarter results from 2021, but what insights can you give us in terms of how last year wrapped up on the operational front?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and hello, everyone. It was a great end to the year, and that was in spite of, you know, continued sort of challenging circumstances in Australia with ongoing restrictions, but nevertheless, you know, the company delivered a record production right at the top end of our annual guidance for 2021. We delivered just under 113,000 ounces of gold, and that was at the top end of that range of 105 to 115. We will be reporting, as you just mentioned, our financials next week, and our guided cost range is at 985 to 1085 per ounce and on all-in sustaining cost basis. You know, we'll be within that range. We're very excited to deliver exactly what we said we would deliver at the beginning of the year, and operations wrapped up well there. So Beta Hunt continued to be the backbone of our production. Higginsville was a contributor, and Spargos, of course, came online in the fourth quarter, but the focus remains on Beta Hunt, which just keeps on getting better, especially as we get into 2022.
Well, Oliver, you know, when you look at the production profile, I know the company is a growth-oriented producer, so you have the idea to be able to increase the throughput and increase the amount of ounces over the next 2 years. You know, when we had talked last time, you guys were just working on twinning the ramp for the second entrance to grow the production. How is that going? And then how do you see things shaping up for the balance of 2022 and maybe heading into 2023 as far as the growth of production?
Yeah, for sure. So we have commenced our second decline underground. And you know, as a reminder, that takes the mine from 1 million tons per annum of throughput up to 2 million tons per annum of throughput by 2024, which is the main driver of that large growth plan we outlined last time. We have commenced it from underground with our own crew. We did that about a month and a half ago. And just around Valentine's Day, we actually had our contractor start earthworks at surface, where they'll be cutting the portal for the surface entry of that decline. So we'll be attacking it from two different directions. And that's progressing actually a bit ahead of schedule, which is fantastic and definitely on budget to be delivered by the end of this year. And then we'll be ramping up production. So that's going very, very well. With respect to 2022, we put out our guidance just a few weeks ago, 110,000 ounces to 135,000 ounces this year at 950 to 1050. We did recalibrate our guidance from our original guidance last year, just like everyone else in Western Australia, the world, you know, at large, but miners in Western Australia specifically. We've seen some inflationary cost pressures and a very tight labor market. So we did recalibrate that guidance, only 5,000 ounces off the top of it, and we still expect to be within that range, but looking strong for this year. And of course, stepping into next year and 2024 as well, guidance remains unchanged, 150 to 170 next year. And then in 2024, we step up to that 200,000 ounce a year run rate once Beta Hunt is fully ramped up and once the mill has been expanded.
Now, in terms of feed for that growth, take us through where that feed will be coming from. Because I remember last time we chatted, I believe 80% of the feed is coming from Beta Hunt. Is that still very much the focus?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I've mentioned, you know, Beta Hunt is certainly the backbone, 80% on a tonnage basis, approximately the same on an ounce basis. So really it is about that expansion of Beta Hunt. Nevertheless, you know, and as a reminder, we're expanding that mill to 2.5 million tons per annum. 2 million tons per annum, that comes from Beta Hunt. So that remaining 0.5 or 500,000 tons per annum will come from Higginsville, a series of open pits and underground, which we're obviously well underway with. But, you know, Spargos is making more and more of a case for displacing some of those tons and ounces from Higginsville. So we'll be playing that grade prioritization game between those two assets for that remaining 20%. But the Beta Hunt continues to be the machine that sort of feeds the beast there.
It'll be interesting to keep seeing Spargos play a bigger role, like you said, to displace some of the Higginsville operations. So that will be something to keep our eye on. But since the action is at Beta Hunt, Oliver, I've just got to ask you, when you do these cost estimates, I know that you had mentioned off mic, and I think in one of the press releases, that you were using a nickel assumption. The nickel estimates that you're using was around 16,000 per ton. Because you have, just as a reminder to the audience, they have both gold and nickel resources here. We've seen that go up over 80,000 per ton just in this last week. Obviously, some of that may roll off, but do you think that nickel will play a bigger role in helping offset the all-in sustaining cost? And how will that help out the margins of the gold with the action we've seen in nickel lately?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's definitely very exciting for Beta Hunt and for Ecora as a company. Obviously, a long legacy prior to just mining gold at Beta Hunt, that being a nickel operation for many, many years. And the nickel is still there. So we do have a remnant nickel resource that grades around 2.8, 2.9%. And has been using remnant mining techniques over the past couple of years. Our most exciting area right across the company is a new area that we first discovered in April of last year. So we're almost at the anniversary of that initial discovery. We drilled about 4.6 meters of 11% nickel in a new area called the 50C, or what we're now calling the Gamma Block. So this is a brand new area, brand new nickel area, and not only nickel, and I'll touch on this a little bit later, but also a gold area. As everywhere we see in Beta Hunt, there's nickel sitting on top of high-grade gold. But this area is looking very, very interesting. We have now drilled that off over 200 meters of strike extent, but 120 meters wide. So that is a very, very wide zone. And if you look at some of our latest press releases and you look at the extension to the property boundary and how these areas continue, that could extend up to 2.6 kilometers to the property boundary. And one validation of that thesis is the fact that 1 kilometer away, we do have a historical drill hole that was drilled by previous operators that was about 9.5 meters of 11% nickel. So the nickel story will continue to grow. We are fast tracking that new area. It's at the bottom of the mine, so we need to get more ventilation down there and a little bit of development. We're very close to the existing development, but we're fast tracking that this year, and we will look to get into that higher grade and certainly higher tonnage area on the nickel front in 2023. And that'll start to drive some meaningful margin expansions. To touch on your point there at the end, our forecast for 2023 and 2024 is about $890 to $990 per ton on an ASIC basis. That includes very little incorporation of the nickel. If we start to look at some of the amazing price increases that we've seen over the last week, and even if we use, let's be very conservative here, and use about $23,000 a ton, that's an extra $40, $50 an ounce on top of the $60 an ounce that we get from nickel this year. And certainly expanding that production next year is something we're focused on. So one of the updates you guys can look forward to in the market here is by the end of the second quarter, we'll have an updated nickel resource at Beta Hunt that includes some of these exciting new areas. And from that, we'll be able to build a mine plan for 2023, 2024 and beyond, and start to give the market a bit better guidance on what to expect from expanded nickel production area. But look, I think us talking about north of $100 an ounce in byproduct credit savings on top of what we already have is certainly in the ballpark here. So from a margin expansion standpoint and from protecting yourself from the volatility of gold, it's looking very good at Beta Hunt.
So let's talk about the exploration that's ongoing, because you've alluded to a number of aspects here where you've made a couple new discoveries. You've expanded on a couple relatively new zones. What's the overall exploration strategy throughout this year?
Yeah, for sure. So you touched on the 50C and Gamma, and just under there's that gold zone I mentioned where we actually drilled about 4 meters of 41 grams per ton, and we continue to hit some gold there. So very exciting there as well. We also have a new area, or an expanded area, I should say, called the Fletcher Zone at Beta Hunt, which is over 500 meters in strike extent. Looks very similar to Western Flank, so a nice continuous long shear zone. So at Beta Hunt, we're drilling both in the nickel area and in new gold areas while extending existing gold areas, all in support of that long-term growth plan. Switching over to Higginsville, the near mine opportunities there are at Two Boys and Aquarius, which we are into mining now. But from the exploration standpoint, one area that we've highlighted many times over has been the Sleuth Trend. And if your listeners go to our presentation and look at the Sleuth Trend section there, where we have a plan view of it, it has everything you're looking for from an exploration standpoint. It has geophysics, it has regional structure, it has known gold deposits nearby, it has our existing mine at Baloo nearby. And then we've also done some early drilling there with air core and RC drilling that's returned great results. So that's an area we're going to be hunting for larger deposits there. So stay tuned there at Higginsville. And then of course at Spargos, you know, the current resource we have is just the top 150 meters from surface. That is an open pit resource. Spargos will be an underground mine once the open pit is exhausted, and that's post us expanding the open pit further. And then there's some phenomenal drilling results to follow up on at Spargos, where we're drilling about an ounce per ton over 19 meters, another ounce per ton over 15 meters. So lots of areas for us to target. As we did last year, and since we rolled off those royalties 2 years ago, we're spending another $20 million on exploration this year. A very aggressive exploration budget, lots of drilling, and with the new development that I should mention in Western Australia, we're hoping that the assay turnaround time increases. And just, I do want to touch on that because it's important for your listeners. Western Australia, as of March 3rd, has eliminated the quarantine requirement for that border, which means that that state border, for the first time in 627 days, has now been opened up. And that means a lot of the labor force from other parts of Australia can get in there. So we hope to see some of those restrictions and those input cost pressures we've seen from a very, very tight labor market start to be alleviated. And that includes at the assay lab. So hopefully it's no longer 2 months we're waiting for assays from exploration, and that starts to get back to more reasonable timeframe. So all moving in the right direction.
Well, Oliver, that is good news to hear about the border opening up and hopefully quicker turnaround times on the assays. That's a very aggressive drill program you guys have at really all three areas, Beta Hunt, Higginsville, and Spargos. I know you also have a little bit you're doing at Mount Henry, but when I think about Karora, it's a complex story. So I'd love you to summarize it for our audience as we wrap up. Just how do you want investors to think of the company? Because I see the production growth at Beta Hunt, but I also see, you know, the ability to grow Higginsville and Spargos, but you've got so much exploration going on that it's almost an exploration story at the same time. And then you've got the nickel narrative now running in tandem with the gold narrative. What is the main way you want investors to think about Karora, let's say medium term to longer term here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's you know, the simplest way to distill it is what you're buying with Karora stock here is 120,000 ounce a year producer expanding 200,000 ounces a year. So a self-funded growth plan, a growing producer that also generates enough cash flow to self-finance the largest exploration program that property has seen in over 12 years. So growth, self-funded exploration, as well as all of this is located in a tier one jurisdiction with a management team that's done this before.
All right, Oliver, we'll wrap it up here, but nice production growth, interesting exploration. There is a lot to talk about, so we will bring you back on the show to get a bit more information as more news comes out of the company. But if any of you, our listeners, want more information on any aspect of Karora Resources, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. Oliver, thank you again for the update. Please keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you very much.